This program was paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to your house to declare to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been teaching now for about, seven or eight sessions from Hebrews chapter 6, and it is the beginning principles of the doctrine of Christ. And Kathy's going to read from that, then we're going to talk a little, continue on teaching. What do you say? Amen.
Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment.
Would you back up to the fifth chapter, about the last four or five verses?
All right, you want me to
read?
Okay, verse 10. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Is that five?
That's five. I think you want verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers.
Well, that'll work.
Okay.
Go ahead.
For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Then he lays into the sixth chapter. You see, I've been teaching this for, about 37 years. In North Texas, Hebrews 6:1, when God started revealing that to me, I taught it in a home Bible study for a year or two, and I've never stopped teaching it. Well, I did for the last 20, because I was doing other things. But you shouldn't need these, those of you that have been listening to me for 30 years, you shouldn't need this at all. But you're dull of hearing, and you're a babe, and you need again this foundation laid down in you. Now, the last, 3 hours, we've been talking about repentance from dead works. Now, there's about 30 minutes of teaching, and 30 minutes of worship, praise, and dancing, what have you, songs, ministry of the song in the spirit. And we'll be teaching down the road a ways about what goes on with this teaching, the dancing, the worship, the praise. It'll all be tied in scripturally. Then you'll understand, this is a regular service of worshiping God. That's what we do. So I just answered some questions. Why don't you just teach? Why don't you listen? Amen. Now, so we've been teaching on repentance from dead works and repentance, which is a changing of the will, and repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. We're going to move on tonight with faith toward God. Actually, I think we've done 7 sessions on repentance. That's what I kind of calculate in my head. But we're not bound by any number. So, Kathy, if you would read that again, the beginning principles of the doctrine of Christ, which is what I'll say it is, repentance from dead works and then faith toward God, right?
Right.
You'll have to read it. Now, let me tell you the problem with most people. Well, the problem with everyone that I know, that their faith will not operate correctly. They have never been led to repentance from dead works. Never. They just walk, you know, thinking they're okay. They're not okay at all. So we move from repentance from dead works to faith toward God. It tells us in three places in the book of Romans that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not in the book of Romans. It is in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. We'll get this right. Amen. The just shall live by faith. It is that simple. So, let's begin reading the first verse, I think, is Romans 10, 17, right?
That's right.
You want to just document that so they won't say, we made this up.
It is Romans 10, 17.
Thank you. And we're teaching from the King James Bible, right?
That's right.
Not from King James 2. King James 2 doesn't agree with King James. See, why you teach from King James? Well, I've taught from New American Standard, Revised Standard, what else? NIV, I don't even remember. I've read them all. Amen. But the King James just happens to be the concordances, Young's and Strong's pretty much have the definition of the words that are in King James. Amen. There's a real war if you can't tell it. It's hard for me to talk. But I refuse to bow and shut up. So get that straight. I'm battling spirits. Spirits with you. Spirits with people from all over the world. This ministry, this message right now is live. Live stream all over the world. And I'm fighting with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That is my wrestling match. But if you're going to obey God and do any teaching or any ministry, this is what you've got to overcome. 1 John 5:4, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. See, you take the letter. There are people all over this, well, in various places in this country, and they've heard me teach, and they've taken the scripture, and they've put together themselves a little teaching. And they say they're teaching what I do. One woman from Tulsa, she has a spirit of ignorance. And that's a bad spirit. Well, it really is. She sent me an email. And she said, you know, Lord, you brought us the gospel. You brought us the gospel. But we teach it in love. And you don't. So we are going out on our own. The next thing you'll find her in the bottom of Canadian or Arkansas River. Fell in on her head. She's a blind. Now, faith toward God. Romans 10, 17.
Right.
Faith.
Can I say something?
Oh, goodness, yes.
I have heard you 100 times start like this. Overcome those spirits and your voice clears up while you're speaking.
Oh, yes. It's improving now.
Yeah.
See, I've been, Kathy and I have been ministering to a couple of Baptist preachers. And when I get like this, say, you need a drink of water? No, I'm fighting demons. Next time they say, I'm fighting your demons. I can be straight, huh?
Real straight.
thy school. Thou, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
You got it.
Got it right, huh? Close. With every promise that God gives you, every commandment, everything that God instructs you to do, he grants you the faith. He grants you the faith to perform it, for him to perform it. And most people think when God tells them something, oh, that's good. Just right now, hand it to me. What they don't know, with the commandment, with the instruction, comes the faith. They don't know. Hebrews 12 says Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So with every promise that God makes you, every one of them, then he will perfect your faith and your love. Galatians 5, 6, only faith which worketh by love availeth anything. See, you Pharisees, you don't get it. This is a walk with the Spirit of God. So, remember now, when God tells you to do something, God then, at that time, gives you the faith to do it. And then he finishes the faith that he authored. Oh, if somebody could have said, look, that's what Hebrews 12 means. It would have been nicer. It would have been easier for me. But religious people, unbelief, you know, they just want to stick something in their head and say it's God. So, you'll never forget this if you serve God. And if you serve God, he'll bring it to your remembrance. And you'll hear what I've taught you tonight. You know, you were a woman of some faith. When you came to live with me, you didn't have the faith to live with me.
That's true.
That's true. Right. And you found that out.
Right? Yes, I did.
Amen. Not everybody can live with me. Why? Because I got a job like no one else I know. All right. Romans 10, 17, and faith cometh by hearing the word of God. What's next?
Acts 20, 21.
Oh, this is a good one here. Let's read this.
Testifying both to the Jews and...
Wait a minute. Who was this?
This was Paul.
The Apostle Paul.
Right.
Testifying both to the Jews and Gentiles, right?
Right.
Or Greeks, whatever it says.
Right.
They're Gentiles.
He's at Ephesus, and he's called the elders of the church.
Oh, thank you. Now, see, we're getting this right. He called the elders of the church at Ephesus.
Right.
This is a church that he established. A church that he preached the gospel to. And they received it. And Paul is, the one that established this church.
Right.
Now, look what he's saying to the elders.
He's saying, and I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
You notice what Paul said? He kept back nothing from the church at Ephesus. These were the elders, right?
Right.
He kept back nothing. As you know, you cannot hold back anything God tells you to teach. And what he taught, he taught publicly and from house to house. He didn't take, he didn't take people in the back room and teach them. You know, people say, well, there's just some messages you can't teach everybody. Well, don't show up at my meeting. Might be right, we can't teach you because you're too stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious. But where God sends me, I teach everybody that shows up. Now, what did he teach? Repentance
toward God.
Repentance toward God.
Right.
Not repentance toward the Pope. Not repentance toward Billy Graham. Not repentance toward your favorite preacher. Repentance toward God. Romans 2:4 says, it's the goodness of God that leadeth you to repentance. So, repentance toward God. Then what?
Then faith.
Faith where?
Toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Repentance toward God, and then faith toward Jesus. Your faith is in the name of Jesus. Your faith is in the name of Jesus. Your faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is the gospel. See? You must know. Repentance, then faith. No repentance, no faith. You know why you don't have faith? You've never repented. You've never been brought to repentance. You play religion. You've been around 90 years and you're still religious. Isn't that amazing? What do we do next?
We go to Hebrews 11:6.
Oh, my favorite.
That's safe.
You want to read it? You want me to quote it?
You can quote it.
For without faith, it is possible to please Him.
I don't think so.
Does that say that?
No.
What's it say?
It says impossible.
So I made a mistake.
Without faith. Remember, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
Do you know a lot of preachers make mistakes on purpose?
Yeah, I kind of figured that. I'm a teacher too.
You were.
I were. I was. Excuse me. Third grade. Scratch that one with a red pen.
Boy, she was a tough teacher. Amen. All right, but without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And they, is that what next word they?
For he.
Oh, for he that cometh to him.
Right. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is. What?
That he is.
Is this a Bill Clinton night?
Yeah. It depends on the meaning of is, right? No. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
He is what?
He is.
It's God.
Right.
Right. You can't come to him and not believe that without believing he is God. You come to him, you must believe he is God. Now, if you ever get this in your heart, you're going to be a changed person. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please him by any of your works. You people that are working for Jesus, forget it. You're working for yourself. Some silly denominational commandment, but not God at all. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to him must believe that he is God. Right?
Right.
He is God. You have to believe he is God. And what's next?
That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
A rewarder. You see, people just marvel that I believe God should reward me. Well, why shouldn't I? That's why I serve him. Do you know that? You must come to God believing he is. He is God. And that he will reward you. He'll reward you. You know, I don't want to talk about this right now. This is another day. He rewards you. If you do what? Diligently seek him. I think, where is that? Well, Psalm 22:26, I think. God, it's been a long time since I've read the Bible. Amen. I believe Psalm 22, turn to that, let's make sure. Psalm 22, verse 26, says they must praise him that seek him.
Psalm 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever.
There it is. See, I don't say that. Oh, yes. You must praise the Lord if you seek him. They that pray, they praise the Lord that seek him,
that
right?
Seek him. Right. They shall praise the Lord that seek him.
All right. Turn it around. You're going to seek him, you shall praise the Lord. All right?
Right.
And you can't seek God any other way. You know, when I first got in the charismatic movement, I heard some of the dumbest things. I'm talking about my preachers. And I heard this one preacher, and he said, if you want to get in the presence of God, just go get in a chair, get in a quiet place. He said that. Yeah. And he told this story. Testimony, whatever it was, a lie. We know it wasn't a lie, I'm sure it happened. They were sitting in this room, just in the presence of God, waiting on God. I think it's Psalm 34 or 37. Waiting on God, and all of a sudden, boom, a power hit the room and knocked this old boy out of his wheelchair. And he started confessing, he said, that's not God. You don't just sit there. You have to praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Years ago, somewhere, was it Houston? Some preacher stepped up behind a pulpit and he said the power of God hit, split the pulpit in half and went, you remember this? Well, I do. Split it in half and knocked him back. Said, that's the power of God. I said, nope, the power of the devil. Power of the devil. Oh, I don't know. Maybe God had to knock you down. But God talks to me. Well, it says, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. John chapter 10.
You have a story about how you praised God, came into his presence.
Oh, when I sold my house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I got in the charismatic movement, I came out of John Wesley Methodism when I was 18. And I only went on Christmas and Easter.
That's a Methodist church.
Or a wedding or a funeral. All right? But when I was 37, those hours were over. God said, you're going to obey me. I said, yes, sir. Amen. So I had a house in McKinney, Texas. It was about 3 years old. No one living in it. And I wanted to sell it. And no one would buy it. I had it in the hands of a realtor. Nobody would buy it. So I was getting ready to go to Florida. God was going to send me there for about a year. And about 3 a.m, I got up. Took my Bible, went into the room where the lights from the street lights were shining through the window where I could see it. That's when I had 20/20 vision. You bet on that. Laid down, opened the Psalm 100. It says, enter into his presence with singing. Or come into his presence with singing. I didn't sing. Enter into his courts. Thanksgiving. No. There's presence with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. I think it's backwards. Turn over and read that. There is so much opposition to what I'm trying to do. Thank God. Psalm 100. It'll be right up here.
Right.
You can start up here.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
That's it. All right. So, his gates with thanksgiving. So, I laid down. I started thinking. Thank you for 20, 30 minutes. And I said, now, I know I'm in your gates. Now, I'm going to praise you. And I'm going to get in your courts. So, I praised you. And I did that 20, 30 minutes. I said, now, I'm coming to your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. Now I know I'm in your presence. So I said, and I didn't know this, I said, they tell me you're a businessman. Who told me? A bunch of full gospel businessmen. They didn't know. I found out later, they just talked. They tell me you're a businessman. And no businessman would ever own a piece of property and pay taxes and insurance on it without revenue. I mean, that's a losing proposition. And I said, I want my house sold. Good night. I went to bed. About 9 o'clock that morning, next morning, it was that morning, really. Guy called me from McKinney, said, Doc, I just sold your house. I said, well, good. You know what? I expected it. That's the way God is.
He was a rewarder of those that diligently
sought. Oh, he did reward me.
Right.
See, you're helping me. That's what he did. Rewarded me. What time is it? How much time is it?
We have about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. All right. Where are we headed next?
We are headed to 2 Corinthians 4:13.
Oh, this is such a key. There's 10 and 11. Would you read 10 and 11?
Sure.
10 and 11, I think it is. Amazing verses. I think you started. Maybe it's 11, 12.
It might be 9. Let's see.
We'll try it.
Let's see. 2 Corinthians 4. 9, let me see. 8 goes, we are troubled on every side.
No.
Yet not distressed.
No.
10
go
is
ahead,
always read. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord
there
Jesus.
There we go.
Okay.
10.
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Now, this is a two passages of Scripture that just confuse pseudo intellects. One, the life of Jesus manifest in your mortal body, or in your body. The other one, life of Jesus manifests in your mortal flesh. That is amazing, amazing, amazing. Now I'm about to blow you away. The power was in Jesus in such a great way that the life of Jesus was in his body. Guess what? I'm talking about the resurrection power. He preached the resurrection before he ever went through it. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in his mortal flesh. The lady with the issue of blood had heard about Jesus. Mark 4 said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. You want to know why? The life of Jesus was in his flesh, in his mortal flesh. And of course, it was going through the garment. Oh, that is so great, what the power of the gospel will do in those of us that obey it. I read this for years. I thought, could this be true? Could this be true? Then, that was 10 and 11, right?
Right.
What's 12?
12 is, so then death worketh in us, but life in you.
Right. Then
13.
13.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak.
Right. We have the same spirit of faith. Now I know, Jesus said, if you have faith, size a grain of a mustard seed, you know, you can move this mountain, move this sycamine tree. Faith is a spirit. Faith is a spirit. And guess what? The spirit of faith will come through your flesh. And you can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's happening? It's pushing things off. It's manifest in your mortal flesh. It's a spirit. And the hour is approaching to where this ministry, all they have to do is touch somebody. And they're healed. That's where we're going. Hey, I'm getting closer. How's that? I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you've done it before.
I know
you've
that.
Done it with me.
I know that. I know that. That sometimes I just touch somebody. And that's it. Sometimes they touch me. And that's it. How much time?
It's about that time.
What do you say? We quit with faith is a spirit.
Okay.
And we are coming into that. Why don't my boys come? Let's worship God along with pre-recorded worship tape with Terry Mai and all of Water Blind Church. Amen.
Put on the gun.
As I look around me in these days where living is, I question how much longer will it be till the Father reaches over, touches Son on the shoulder, and say, Jesus, go bring our family.
The place was fine.
sleep awakened. I looked into the night. The darkness overtaken by a bright and shining light. Oh, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't reason how. Then my eyes beheld him, and I wasn't dreaming now.
God bless you. See you tomorrow night. Thank you.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.